It's Tuesday, March 14th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcasts.com. Aloha, folks. Got a great show for you. And yes, I have an announcement. So strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and hey, thanks for being part of the show, being part of the family, staying subscribed, and all that good stuff. I tell you what, I'm kind of excited tonight because I get to make an announcement. But other than that, hey, for all of you that are long-term subscribers and part of the Ohana here, thanks for staying subscribed. And for those of you who are checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there, including the archive podcasts via the podcasting link. And several of you have sent me emails on, Todd, I'm having problems figuring out how to subscribe to your newsletter. So what I want to do is I want to walk you through that. And if you're at your computers, all you have to do is go to geeknewscentral.com, look in the second column of the website. You'll see a PayPal donate button, Geek News Central button tag, and if you go down a little lower, you'll see Geek Navigation, and then below that, it'll say Podcast Newsletter. Now, the newsletter is delivered to your inbox twice a week, directly following the show notes. Actually, as soon as I post the show notes on the website, they are dropped into a special program that sends them out to you. And I know some of you are still having some troubles from time to time getting the show notes. Either your ISP has either blocked me as being a possible spammer or some sort. But, you know, everyone's opted into this list. So if your ISP is blocking the email, there's not a lot I can do about it. But, hey, let's cover some business here. Then we'll talk a little bit about what's going on and what the announcement I have. Today I got an email from the folks at FeedBurner, and you guys kind of know my stance on FeedBurner. I'm not a huge fan of farming out my RSS feed to a third party. And for those of you that are not familiar with RSS, what RSS is real simple syndication, and it's the glue that kind of makes this whole podcasting and blogging thing really work and allows me to go and find all of the articles that I talk about on this show. And it's essentially the same content that is on the main website, but in a machine-readable format that other programs can read. Well, anyway, make a long story short, FeedBurner said, hey, we found someone had created an RSS feed on our service with your RSS link to it. Do you want us to delete that? And I said, well, yeah, because I don't ever remember setting up a feedburner.com/ whatever that domain was that they had set up. And needless to say, I was kind of surprised. Now, he didn't tell me who the individual was that set it up, only that they were going to remove it. And I thought that was real nice of him, you know, considering that I've been tough on them a few times. And he and I talked a little bit via email. And we're going to talk when we get out to Gnome Dex. Him and I are both going to Gnome Dex. Now, if you are a techie and you live on the West Coast, or even if you don't, and you have heard about Chris Prillo's Gnome Dex, you really need to consider going. It is a absolute amazing event. And I'm definitely going to be there, along with some of the folks from the Tech Podcast Network. And also, some of my team from Raw Voice is going to be there, too. So should be a great time. Now, I want to talk out just a long ways until the Podcast Expo. The Podcast Expo, my company Raw Voice has already reserved a suite. So we're going to be having some special functions in the suite during Podcast Expo. That is to include maybe even some music. We looks like we have a band of some sort that maybe have already volunteered possibly to come in and do a little gig for us. And we may have one night that'll be actually we're gonna have a good time. We're gonna whatever it is probably be one all come all, and a place to do a little business and meet with people on downtime. But we look forward to seeing all of you at the expo that decided to come out. Okay, what have I got going? You guys want to hear about the announcement? Well, I'm going to hold you off a few more minutes. Today I made that trek to the mailbox with three envelopes. One had my corporate return in it. One had my personal return. And the other one had my Hawaii State return in it. And all of them got dropped into the mailbox. And I was quite a sigh of relief saying, well, the tax man cometh again. And dipping his hands a little too deep into my pocket, but I think we all have to deal with that from time to time. But my CPA did a great job on all the paperwork, and needs to say the damages weren't too bad, bad enough, but not too bad. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about some of these website hosting plans that are out there that are available that I'm seeing people go to, and this will relate to something I'm going to talk about a little later, but if you are hosting on one of these $2.95 hosting plans that are just, somebody's resold a site two or three different times, do not register your domain with them. Okay, and I don't care. You know, obviously, if you want to use GoDaddy to be your domain register, that's all great. But even if you don't assign your domain name to the same register. And the reason is we have been ready to launch a site now for 3 days. We've got, and we'll talk about that site here in a second, but the site that we're launching is a relaunch. It's a site that's been around for a while, a podcasting site, and we've been in discussions and actually signed an agreement with an individual to launch that site. So I told him 2 days ago, go ahead and make the changes to the name servers, and we will be ready to go live. Well, we couldn't get in, couldn't unlock it. The domain was with that guy. Oh, it was just a little bit of a pain. Finally, he got through to their tech support, got it unlocked. And tonight, I made the name server changes. Now, what we did, in anticipation of this migrating throughout the internet, we put up a splash page. And that splash page is going to stay up for about the first maybe 12 to 18 hours, all dependent upon when I see it migrate throughout the internet. But here's the deal. How many of you guys are familiar with Trucker Tom? I'm sure that you have, some of you have, maybe some of you aren't. He's got a great website, great podcast. And Tom and I have been friends for, both of us have been known each other since way, early 2005, probably. And anyway, make a long story short, he has a website that is called podcastpromos.com. Now, what we have done is we have taken podcast promos and we have completely revamped the website. What you saw there before is gone. It has been bulldozed. And what we are going to release tomorrow is a website for podcasters that is going to be running on the Raw Voice Generator, the engine that drives the Podcaster News Network. We've reskinned the site, done some changes that are specific to that's going to allow you to go in and set up your own profiles. But you're going to be able to go there and submit and subscribe to feeds of promos. You're going to be able to build a playlist of promos. This is going to allow you to essentially check out lots of new shows, submit stuff. We're going to allow you to have up to three promos on your profile, and they can be up to 2 minutes long. So if you've got promos already built, get prepared. As soon as the site launches, you'll be able to go in, create an account. It'll verify that you are who you say you are as far as sending an email back. Then you're going to be able to go in and create an actual profile. You'll be able to put your podcast name in, the website address, the RSS feed. In about a week, you're going to be able to upload some graphics. Along with that, you're going to be able to do a full profile of the show, a description, and some other miscellaneous information. And once that's done and you submit that profile, you'll be able to go in and submit a podcast. And what we're going to require is that you have the podcast on your own server. So we're just going to ask for a hyperlink to your promo. And then what we will do is we're going to actually download that promo one time. We'll check it with some mechanisms we have going on with the server to make sure that it. We are going to ask you to have a certain standard on your promo so that we can keep the quality up for everyone. But there's a pretty wide range, and it actually goes, I think, 48K is the lowest bit rate we allow, and a number of things that's going to happen there. So what will happen also is when you enter your information, you're going to be able to categorize your show. So you'll be able to say, okay, and I think I've got 22 categories configured. You'll be able to select the category your show belongs into. And once you submit it, then your actual promo will be displayed on the front of the website and also in the program areas. And I think once you get a hang of it and what's going on, this is going to make a resource where you'll be able to submit information about that's going on your show on a regular basis. So it can not only be used for promos, but it can also be used to talk about, hey, this is what's happening this week on the Geek News Central podcast. And you can update it. And people that subscribe to that particular category or or your particular cast will get a custom RSS feed and they'll be able to get it downloaded into iTunes. Now, what I will be doing immediately following the site coming up live is I'll be submitting all of the categories to iTunes so that there will be iTunes links so that you'll be able to add all of these specific categories to your iTunes feeds. But the main thing here is for podcasters is we are not going to create any custom RSS feeds or anything like that. You'll have on your profile, it'll be your website, your RSS feed with a link to your RSS feed. And the only difference is if someone says add to my cast, they'll click add to my cast and we will build them a custom RSS feed that they can use in their podcatcher. So we're real excited about that, and we hope we shook all the bugs out of it. We sure did work on it a while to make sure that it was. So this is number one of about four offerings that we're going to be launching here within the next month. And we're real excited. We hope that you are. Make sure you check out podcastpromos.com. We have signed an exclusive agreement with Tom. The site is going to be essentially under our management control for a long time. And we're also going to have some new things coming to it in a short order that's going to be able to allow podcasters to be able to promote other podcasters in a way that is similar to, there'll be a feedback system and some other features that'll be coming. We're not going to talk about all those right now, but for the immediate part, you go over to podcastpromos.com, check it out. Hey, we want to hear your feedback on it. So there's a contact button on the website. You'll be able to send any issues that you may have. And I'm sure there'll be a few bugs, but let's keep our fingers crossed that we shook it down good enough. And I tell you, that's number one announcement. I hope that you guys, and I think what's going to be enjoyable here is not only will listeners get something out of this, because listeners will be able to come over there and check out and find new shows and find out what your shows are about, but podcasters are also going to be able to, if they like your show, be able to play a promo and give you some feedback when they played it so that you can do some cross-promotion. And it's just another offering from the Raw Voice team. And we want to thank Tom for working with us. And we look forward to an amazing launch and to an amazing amazing additions to that website. One of the goals here is always to save you money. And did you know that your number one source for all your internet needs, GoDaddy.com, has new domain names, transfers, and renewals as low as $1.99? Plus, check out their hosting plans, website builders, secure certificates, and much more. Plus, as a Geek News Central listener, enter the code Todd, that's T-O-D-D, when you check out and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. Now, here's another promo code that you can use, and this is one that I don't pass out too often, but .com names can now be had for $6.95, unlimited numbers, comsale, C-O-M-S-A-L-E, comsale. Okay, what do we have in a form of content tonight? Let me look at my little list here. All right, talked about that. And hey, did you all hear, did you hear me talk about before? Oh, by the way, we're on the new mic. You guys, what do you guys think of this PR40? Still getting it dialed in. I think it's a little high on the treble side. I guess that's the way you would put it for layman terms. But I will let me know. Let me know what you think of this new mic and how it sounds. And I'm actually changing the bit rate of the show tonight, or the sample rate of the show tonight too. So we'll see if that happens. But anyway, do y'all remember when I talked a while back about Price Right Photo? This was a website that was essentially online, and they had just it's outstanding prices, too good to be true prices on new camera gear. Well, Thomas Hawk's Digital Connection is reporting today that after this company got delisted for having deals that were too good to be true from many of the marketing sites, says that they are back online, and they're back underneath a supposed name of Barclays Photo. I'm going to put the link up in the show notes, and here's a word of caution to all of you that are getting ready to buy camera gear. If the deal looks to be too good to be true, it most definitely is. So be careful out there, especially be careful shopping with photo companies or camera gear companies out of Brooklyn, New York. It seems to be a lot of these are cropping up there and have a tendency to try to gouge people on extras that normally would come with a camera. On Saturday, I had an interview with Tom Rafferty, and he has a website called IT Views. He's going to be releasing that interview sometime this week, probably within the next 24 hours or not. But I want to give a shout out to him, as he won a blogging award, best technical blog at the Irish Blog Awards on this previous Saturday night. So congratulations to Tom on that, and I hope that you. I don't know if they gave you any money on that there, Tom, but if you did, spend it wisely, okay, my friend? But you guys check out Tom's site, TomRaffertyIT.net. Okay, what else? I got a whole bunch of stuff here to talk about today, and probably more than time is going to be allowed for me to get through it all. But I do have a couple of items on the main website. Now, Dave Weiner has made a decision, and we don't know if it's final or not, but he's kind of looks like he's getting ready to punch out of blogging. And I think he's kind of fed up with all the fighting and backstabbing and everything that has gone on in the RSS, OPML, blogging, podcasting space. And, you know, I'll be the first one to say, you know, I give credit where credit is due. And for those of you that have not been listening to podcasts for a very long time, go over to scripting.com and give Dave a comment on his site or send him an email and say thanks, because this medium in its current condition today would not have been possible without Dave. Now, some of you are going to contest that, but hear me out. He was responsible for the RSS 2.0 specification. He finalized it, got it all dialed in, and had the foresight to set up the enclosure tags that went into RSS. And the enclosure tags is what makes podcast delivery what it is today. Now, obviously, we know Adam wrote the script, the Apple script, to download podcasts. We know some other people were building some little tools to do it also. And obviously, the momentum was kind of a synergy of timing and everything else. But Dave deserves a lot of credit for what's gone on in the blogging, RSS, OPML, and podcasting space. And I'll be sad to see him go. I don't always agree with what Dave says, but you know what? I'm at least willing to reflect on the thing he has to say and consider his point of views, because usually there's a point to it that is important to be recognized. So there's a lot of companies out there that need to pay attention. Now, I had a Japanese gentleman a number of years ago give me some advice on a stock. And it was basically, we were sitting around at a bar drinking a few beers in Tokyo. And this guy to me said, "Did you ever hear of Company X?" And I said, "No, I haven't heard about that company." He says, "Well," and he called me Tato-san. "Tato-san, you know what you need to do? You need to take all of your money and buy stock in this company." Well, that was good advice. And, you know, I send that gentleman a bottle of booze every year. And I think there's a lot of companies out there that probably should send Dave a bottle of booze or a bottle of wine or something on a regular basis, because there's a lot of people who have gotten rich because of the work that he has done. Like the politics or not, it's a bare fact. And I wish Dave well, whatever he decides to do. And I hope he stays with the community and continues to blog. But if he doesn't, then fair winds and following seas. I hope he does. I'm sure he'll do well in whatever he takes off to do next. Okay. Now I want to talk about something real quick also that is important and I thought was totally amazing. If you're a podcaster and you're curious about what's going on in podcasting and who's listening, and even if you're a listener and want to know what's going on, Mark McCurry from PodTrack, during the roundtable on Saturday, showed us 14 different PowerPoint slides with aggregated survey results of over 40,000 responses. Now, those of you that have responded to the survey that we had up before, I want to thank you so very much. It was perfect. You guys did a great job, and we got all the information that we needed to get. But there's a lot of other podcasters out there that are still running their surveys. So Mark gave us a general overview of what those statistics reported for, you know, as a huge, you know, aggregated total of all the different podcasts. And you have to take time, if you have nothing else to do, go over to techpodcast.com. And there's right now, it's only a Windows media file, a WMV file. And I took a little flack for not putting it up in .mov format. I've got to get it changed over so that the Mac users can use it. Now, I've got a Mac. I was able to view it just fine, so I don't know what the problem was. But anyway, some of them are complaining they can't see it with the WMV format. So I'm going to create a MOV file so they can actually view it. But without about 34 minutes into the presentation is when Mark starts his spieling and gives this information. Check it out. I'm telling you, you're going to be blown away by the results. You can take some of it to bank and build it for your media kits. Great, great info. Also, U3.com was there. Check out U3.com. It's about making your little USB disk no longer USB disk. They're smart disk with programs and applications on them. So really, really cool. I'm going to run really long tonight. I haven't even got into the meat of the stuff I wanted to talk about. But anyway, that's just a couple of things that happened this weekend and some stuff I thought was important to bring to your attention. All right, over on TechCrunch.com, Michael Arrington has a review of a website called Zoomer. And it's spelled Zoomr.com. And this is like a Flickr site on steroids. And what's amazing is one of the guys that is a developer on there is a guy by the name of Chris. And he's 17 years old and is working full-time on this site. And he was responsible for launching Zoomer in just beginning of March of this year, and has only worked on it for like 3 months, but the site took such a slam that it was offline this afternoon. Now, I don't know if it's back online or not, but if it isn't, you're going to want to add this to your definite checkout items. Zoomer.com, kind of it's a Flickr site on steroids, and obviously if Michael Arrington says it's a hot, 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 it'll definitely be hot, hot, hot. So make sure you get over there to Zoomer.com. Now, for those of you that are bloggers or podcasters, did you know about this new RSS feed icon? Well, check out feedicons.com. They've got a lot of the new icons available that you can put up on your website, whether you like it or not, different colors, but it's definitely got the motif of what the new design is. Again, feedicons.com. All right, over at CBIT in Germany, and this is an article that came up a few days ago, but I thought it was important to talk about. They demonstrated a mental typewriter and game controller using a guy that had a one of these basic, it was a thing that was wrapped around his head and had a bunch of wires coming off it. But this guy was actually able to move a mouse cursor around on a screen just by brain inputs. So totally amazing. And it just goes to show you where we're coming or where we're headed. Can you imagine someday you just put a little earpiece on instead of driving the mouse with your hand, you do it mentally and you take it even further and be able to have that interpret brainwaves in order to put data on a screen. You know, it's going to come, folks. It's just going to take some time. And think of what that's going to mean to visually impaired people. It's very, very huge. And paralyzed patients, the whole nine yards, this could be very, very large in the space. Now, obviously, it's not ready for production or anything like that, but it is a reality where we're going to be able to control our computers with our brains at some point. So nice to see this development. Okay, Mark Cuban has a nice article on his website called The Big Lie, CEOs and Shareholders' Interests Are Aligned. And it talks about those of you that own stock and those of you that are familiar with CEOs' big salaries and how some of that doesn't necessarily line up in the benefit of the stockholder. And as an investor, I think this is kind of a cool article. I know it's a long way from the tech world. But for those of you out there that are managing your money, this may be a good good article to check out. I think he's got some good observations on this. And it kind of falls along with some articles that have been in the Wall Street Journal and some other talk that's been out there on investment in the land of these big companies. All right, how many of you have McAfee running on your Windows machines? How many of you lost files this weekend? Well, sadly, it appears McAfee antivirus caused widespread file damage on a recent auto update. And it was in the Friday update that McAfee released essentially contained an anomaly in the DAT file that caused many important files to be deleted from affected systems. And this included Excel files, Visual Studio stuff, just a whole bunch of different applications were affected. And if you had your virus protection set up to auto-delete, you may be missing files right now and you don't even know it. Well, McAfee has issued a revision and also a tool to restore those files. So don't be doing anything crazy with your computers, like trying to go and look at undelete, and just go to McAfee, find the utility, download it. I'll have the /dot link up on the show notes. But this is, you could be missing files, folks, especially if they're matching some of the extensions that this DAT file mistaked as viruses, which were not. So I think it was primarily, affected applications include Office, Green Hills, a whole bunch of different ones, Adobe, AutoCAD, Hyperion, Macromedia, MySQL, Cold Fusion. Boy, just a whole bunch. Visual Studio, what else? Just a whole bunch of different files. So make sure you get over and check this out and check McAfee out as well. All right, you know, I'm not a big fan on RFID tags. You know, I was on a big kick on it for a while, talking about how at some point in the future, a company would drive by your house with a vehicle with an antenna sticking out of it and scan your house for RFID tickets, tags to determine what type of products were in your home so that they could target you as a consumer with goods and materials. And you know, it's just really, really bad, I feel, about how some of this RFID technology is becoming. But apparently, passports are now being issued with RFID tags in them, and they've also come up with the first bendable RFID tag that is essentially as thin as a piece of paper. So it will allow RFID tags to be embedded in documents so that things can be moved around. You can keep track of documents via RFID. But it also means that RFID tags can be put in a lot of places that they couldn't before because of the size or the thickness of it. And we'll have to see what happens here. But, I've heard about these people having these RFID tags. I think there was some that were in, where was it, Wisconsin? Or Oregon, where city officials were actually having RFID tags implanted into their hands so that they were using that as their security device to scan and say, yep, this is who I am. Let the computer unlock or let me into this secure area. No, thank you. They're not sticking nothing in me like that. No, no, no way. Okay, how many of you are not real big on getting LCD screens? You know, obviously, there's been a big push by the TV industry and for the consumer electronics companies to have everyone buy a big, nice LCD. Well, consumers have been concerned about the LED life and all the things that go along with having LCD screens. Well, it seems that Samsung is ready to bring a a CRT, which is HD ready, to Europe. So they're going to have a HD ready CRT TV available to those of you that are in Europe. It's a 32 inch, and it's from what everyone's saying about it in the related stories is it's an amazing, amazing CRT based television set. So we'll have to keep an eye on this. I think this is very interesting. I wonder what the price differential will be, if it'll be more or less. But how many of you would like to have a HD CRT versus an LCD type monitor or a TV monitor? So send me some feedback on that. And I found that over on reghardware.co.uk. Okay, there's an article on NewsForge that talks about the RIAA, and it makes some comparisons to some movies and stuff. And it talks about licensing of music and how over time, you know, how I've talked about it here before, where those of you that are older may have had an 8-track back in the day, then moved to cassette, and then maybe moved to CD, or even worse, it was you had an album, a vinyl. You went to 8-track, you went to cassette, you went to CD, and now, you know, who knows whatever format they're going to get to us. And let's say you bought each one of those albums separately. Obviously, there's these companies that made that licensing fee 4 and 5 times over, or if you bought a best of hits or whatever it may be that you bought, the record companies have just cleaned up because you paid for it multiple times. And even though the cost of the media now, which is CD-ROMs, are so cheap, the price hasn't been much of a change. Well, not only is that becoming a major issue, but there's a class action lawsuit that's been issued just because of that exact reason, in that CDs are costing less than $1 to press right now, but yet in the store, they still cost you between $14.95 and $19.95. And some questions are being asked, you know, what happens if I crack a CD? Can I go and do an exchange for it and pay a couple of bucks and get a new one? All these questions that we've been asking have been started to be asked by the mainstream press and by people are saying there's got to be a change. There's got to be, you know, if we're going to pay for this music and own it, there needs to be some justice here for consumers where we quit getting ripped off by the RIAA and all these music vendors. So who are the real pirates here? That's the question to ask, and I think this class action lawsuit will address some of that. So this is a double article here, one from NewsForge. It talks about this, you know, who's getting rich on us, and then the class action lawsuit that's related to a lot of the stuff that's going on in the industry right now, where major government agencies are actually going after, or the feds are going after the music industry as well. So links on that in the show notes. Okay, in the science frontier, it appears that an icy super Earth has been found around a faraway star. And what makes this kind of cool is that the way they're starting to detect some of these bodies out there now, they're actually looking at a star, and then they're actually finding planets by shadows and all kinds of different stuff. But they're using, I've heard this term come up a couple of times. It's called optical gravitational lensing experiments, which looks for changes in light coming from distant stars, which indicates possibly another planet moving in front of it or whatever it may be. But I think that this is a interesting find, and they're saying that they're finding lots of these what they call super Earths. And this particular article says a cold, heavy super Earth has been found orbiting a distant star, using a method that holds promise for detecting faraway planets that closely resemble our own. But of course, this one that they found is only 9,000 light years away. So it's just, you know, it's just across the street, not too far down. We can just get in the car and drive over there. So, okay, enough on that. Hey, have you heard that Netflix has added HD DVD rentals? Well, they have, and it's apparently as a kind of a quiet rollout. But that is now available via Netflix. So if you have an HD TV and you want to get HD DVD rentals, look under your account preferences so that you now can get HD DVDs when they are actually available. Of course, you got to have the correct player to play him as well. But enjoy. Okay, Microsoft rolled out a new site called On10Net. It's actually called 10, but it's on10.net. I wonder how much they paid for that domain name. But this seems to be kind of a cool site. They're going to be every day at 10 a.m. releasing a new video about just cool stuff. And the first one that they released, actually, let me read this here. Let me read the about on this page. 10 is a place for people who want to use technology to change the world. Every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, they'll update the site with a new video that highlights people, their passions, and often the technology they're using. At the end of each week, they'll compile these shows into a full-length show with some extra surprises for you. So check that out over at on10.net. And tomorrow, they will have a video up on the making of 10 on 10.net. It's a Channel 9 video that was created. But the first one that was put up was pretty cool. It's internet superstation, really, KEXP out of Seattle. So I think this will be probably a daily read for me. Now, even though I've got a ban on buying Sony products, I'm going to give you a little hint here, okay? Because of those of you that have been around the show for a while, you'll know why I have a ban on buying Sony products. But Sony has released a new product called the Sony MSVR TAC A10 Memory Stick Video Player and Recorder. Now, do you guys remember I did a product review on a product called the Neuros Recorder 2? Well, this device that Sony released today cost $215, and it records MPEG-4 H.264 at 320 by 240 directly to a memory stick, okay? That's the key here, to a memory stick. And that's good enough for about 4 hours of PSP video from a 1 gig stick. Now, here's what you need to know. You can get the same thing in that Neuros Recorder 2 for about $60 less, okay? But at least Sony, I guess, is finally coming on board saying, yeah, this is cool technology. The device looks to be kind of like a regular consumer device, but the Neuros, as I talked about, is really no bigger than, oh gosh, it's a little bigger than an iPod, but I like the Neuros. I really do like it. It's a quick way to record some video, get it on a memory stick, and then do your thing with it on your PC. So, and a cool thing about it is MPEG-4, okay? Use that on your iPod. All right, Citibank ATM fraud is just the tip of the iceberg. Apparently, this Citibank fraud that was going on is still continuing. There's some major concern that's going on out there that the network has been compromised. And many of you, one of you sent me an email and said, hey, Todd, it's not the bank's fault. It's a third-party retail company that gave up the PIN numbers. So don't blame the banks. It wasn't the banks that had the breach. It was a breach of a material from another vendor. So I do want to clarify that, but it appears that this breach is still going on. And maybe we'll talk about that comment a little more later. I'll read it verbatim out of the listener show comments that came in via email. I found an article over on the Register that kind of blew me away. And the title of it, Net Blows CIA Agents Cover. And what this boils down to is the Chicago Tribune has been out culling data that's been available from public records such as telephone listings, property tax records, voting registers, legal judgments, business incorporation papers, and assortment of other data that's available via the public. But they were able to come up with a list of the personal identities of 2,653 CIA workers. Now, that's pretty scary that they were able to come up with this information. Now, they didn't release it publicly. I guess they held off doing so at the CIA's request. But it just goes to show you that if they can find, the Chicago Tribune can find this information out about people that work at an agency that probably don't need to be getting out, why? Just think what they could find on you. Have you Googled your name lately? Or have you done any net searches that dug a little deeper into public records and seen what's available about you on the internet? I know I've done it a few times, and it's actually pretty scary, the amount of traffic or amount of data that's out there. So, you know, go out and do some searches from time to time and see what the net is saying about you. Do a mini search or meme search of your name and see what you come up with. And there's a lot of companies out there that will do public record searches, though. You can even hire companies to investigate yourself. And there's lots of them. And they go out there and they'll dig through stuff and see what they can dig up on you or dig up on someone else. I had a long, long lost friend that was, it was just kind of disappeared off the face of the earth. I kind of knew where he was at, but I wasn't for sure. I had some numbers for him that didn't quite check out. And all of a sudden one day he showed up. And I said to him, I said, hey, I won't say his name, but I said, I've been looking for you. Where you been? He said, man, I don't put anything on the net. I don't, he's one of these guys that just lays completely low. He doesn't like people getting in his business. He's always had an unregistered, unlisted phone number. He's done everything he can to hide out. And I'm like, well, how did you, how successful have you been? Well, he said, I had a guy that was looking to hire me, and he hired one of these firms, and they were actually able to track me down. And the reason I'm calling you is I'm looking for a reference because I'm going to go work for this guy. I was like, so someone had used the technology to track my buddy down and found him. But because he didn't have very much information available on him on the net or didn't have a resume online, he needed to get some references. So he had to call Homeboy here to get the info. So, hey, you know who you are. If you're out there listening, PM, that's right. That's your initials, PM. You better call me, okay? We need to talk again. But, no, I'm not going to go hunting for you. I know where you're working now. So, okay, I can track you down that way. But this is kind of scary what they can find out about you out there. Okay, kind of in a little more in space news, the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter successfully entered orbit around Mars on Friday. And the spacecraft started its 27-minute orbit insertion burn on time, and it shut down on time. And the scientists at NASA are absolutely blown away. They said they hit the mark right on the, they nailed it right where it was supposed to be. So what's interesting about this is this 2,000-pound probe has about six different instruments on it, including the most powerful camera ever flown to Mars. And it's got a radar on board that will probe for water, lots of cool stuff. So lots of exciting scientists forthcoming from the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. All right, I've got a pile of stuff here left, and I am nowhere near done. Okay, a lot of more information coming out on the Stardust probe. It looks like they're getting all kinds of heavy elements that are being discovered off that collection. So I'll put a link up to this. This is on CBS News Health and Science, so you guys can go check that out yourself. From time to time, I get a email or I see something in Technorodity that talks about, someone makes a comment on listening to the show. I want to know who, of all of you that are out there, what's the strangest place you've ever listened to the Geek News Central podcast? I'm looking at JimWilliams.com. And he shows a picture of him driving down the highway on the open road outside of Texas listening to Geek News Central. Now, I expect a lot of you listen to the show in the car, but someone is listening to this show in a really weird place. So what I want you to do, like an underground bunker, or if you are wherever you may be, if you're listening, I want to hear from you. Send an email to Geek News. I won't reveal who you are, and I'll only go on to specifics if you have to be real careful. But I want to know the strangest place that you're listening to the show, okay? Or the strangest place that you have listened to the show. And have a little bit of a contest here. And I'll hook somebody up with something for the strangest place that you'll listen to the show. But Jim, keep listening to the show, baby. And I know you're driving down those highways in Texas. And keep on sending me those great comments from time to time, too. Okay, Windows Live parental controls are due this summer. And Microsoft is expecting to release a first version of the new no-cost parental control software for Windows XP by the end of June. And the company reported this on Monday. Now, this is already in beta test, but this is going to be a new service. It's going to allow parents to build better parental controls into Windows XP so that you Won't have to have such a tighter has won't have to have such a tight leash on your kids when they're surfing your net. Now, if it's like any other Windows product, we may have to have a tighter leash on them because it just, well, I'm kidding. We'll see what happens. But anyway, that's coming in June. All right, there's a study out about teleworkers. And those are people that stay at home and telecommute. And there was some very interesting survey results. And some of these I just do not believe because I think that they are really probably just exaggerating. But check this out. 1 in 8 male teleworkers and 1 in 14 female teleworkers say they do their jobs in the nude, according to a new survey on the habits of remote and mobile worldwide workers. Okay, how many of you telework in the nude? No, I don't think so. I just, yeah, maybe in your pajamas, but work nude? I don't think so. Okay, here's some more results. Other findings. 18% of men find time to do household tasks while on the clock. 28% of the respondents say they watch TV while on the job. I don't know about you, but that's the biggest distraction in the whole world. If 28% of the respondents say they're watching TV, they are definitely not getting their employer their bang for their buck because you know what happens? You get distracted and you watch the news, and next thing you know, 30 minutes have went by while you're on the clock. No. 9% said they feel guilty sometimes about being away from the main office. I tell you what, I would love to telecommute. Matter of fact, I would probably give my employer more productive hours being able to work at home than I would at the office. I really do think that. But my employer does not allow teleworking. Maybe my next one will. Maybe the next one will be me, and I'll telework right here from the seat I'm sitting in right now. Okay, U.S. and the U.S. government and Google are set to face off in court this week. And obviously, the administration is renewing its efforts to find out what people have been looking for on Google. And this is continuing a legal showdown and, over how much the web's vast database should be shared with the U.S. government. So the Justice Department and Google are expected to elaborate in their opposing views in San Jose this week before a court. So we'll see what happens with this. And good luck, Google, on your case, okay? All right, Apple has applied for a patent. And I don't know what to think about this. Obviously, we applied for patents for some of the technology we're using with Raw Voice Generator. But what Apple has done here is Apple's trying to patent RSS slash Atom Feed, excuse me. Apple is trying to patent Real Simple Syndication slash Atom Feed aggregation technology. Now, looking over that patent, this is a lot of stuff that's in there is stuff that's been around for a long, long time, and I don't know who they're kidding. And I can't claim either to be any of any particular expertise on this, but this is wrong. It really, really is. So we will see what happens here. I'm sure there's going to be a fight. Apple's can probably have a fight on their hands over this patent application. But the goal to actually do this is beyond me. Okay, there's a new podcast production software application available, and it's called Podcast Station. Audion has released Podcast Station, a new podcast edition product and publishing program. Podcast Station on screen buttons let users assign commentary, music, and sound effects and interviews in a variety of file formats. Content can then be mixed, saved for uploading and play on personal computers and mobile devices. So it has RSID3 tag information in it. And I tell you what, it looks a little bit like Cast Blaster, but it looks to me like it's a little bit better in its interface. So I'm definitely going to have to check this out. Now, let's see, let me look at this here. This is definitely a, yep, it's a PC application. It's not built for your Apple users yet. But I'll definitely get a hold of this and do a review, and we'll see what happens. Even if I have to pay for it, I will. And I'll get a review out for you folks. All right, where are we at? We're at 49 minutes. You know what? I am close to being done. Let's go over to listener comments here real quick. All right, show comments. I've got some pulled out. Oh, I got an email from Juan. He said, "Hey Todd, I noticed you were mixing up bits and bytes when you talked about bandwidth required for HDTV, and yes, I did, and thanks for setting me straight." But he says here to me, "The broadband of a T1 is 1.54 megabits per second. Now, what from I've seen, HDTV would need somewhere around 10 megabits per second. ISPs around the world, such as Videotron in Canada, are already rolling out high-speed residential service, and he's saying 16 megabits per second in this case. The difference is that T1, T3, OC3, etc. give you a dedicated connection with guaranteed bandwidth, which makes it really expensive, while residential services give you a shared service but still good enough to do HDTV. Well, the question is, Juan, what happens when I have three HDTVs in my house? My next-door neighbor has three. The one across the street has three. And the one over that has five kids has got five. That's the question. That's what Mark was saying in his article. Can they handle this huge influx of bandwidth requirements that is forthcoming because of HDTV? We will see. We definitely will. I have a feeling a lot of you are going to be getting HDTV via the antenna on your roof. Did you know you can do that? Yeah, if you live in a major metropolitan area, I bet you there are HDTV stations that you can get for free with an antenna. Okay, I got a promo here from Brad. Let me have to cue that up and play that for you all. I didn't have that already queued, so I'm going to skip this and we'll go get that at the end. I got a, let's see, what else have I got? Oh, here's a reply for people that are how they're getting around overseas purchasing. And this is from Mike. He says, "Hi, Todd. You've asked about how people overseas deal with purchasing media when certain companies such as iTunes do not sell. He says, I travel internationally extensively and was finding I had troubles even purchasing from some U.S. vendors as they saw the credit card transaction being initiated from an overseas location, yet my billing address was in North America. While traveling, if there is an iTunes song I want to buy, many locations restrict the sale. The simplest solution is VPN. This works 100% of the time from any location on Earth. I use both a work VPN and a private VPN that shows my connections and is in North America and all works without question." Now, here's what we need to do, Mike. You travel internationally, but that email that I got from a listener, he lived overseas. So we need to set up a VPN solution that we can share with friends of this show to allow them to get in and buy music, buy products and goods and services that they wouldn't necessarily be able to do otherwise because of some of these silly restrictions. So does anyone want to help me out with this? This would be a great project, especially if we had some sort of an authenticated process that would make sure that people weren't using it to abuse, to be used as a relay, or were able to actually use it for legitimate purchases that maybe we could have it restricted to a certain number of sites. Hey, does anybody got an idea on that? Let's do something with this. Maybe we can make it happen as a group. Okay, I got an email from Dan. He said, "Hi, Todd. I heard your podcast today when you mentioned stock photos. My wife and I just closed our photography business where we shot weddings and portraits. I'd be tried happy to recreate an image for you instead of your company having to purchase a stock photo. That'd be my part to help support the podcast." Oh, I tell you what, Dan, thanks so much. But I'll be very honest with you. A lot of the stock photo stuff that I get, I do have some sources for some very inexpensive 99-cent stock photos. So there's very rarely that I can't find something that isn't got a license that I can use or that I can't make myself. But if I get in a jam, I will definitely be looking you up, all right? I do appreciate your feedback on this. Okay, we're at 53 minutes, and I've got a voicemail comment that I want to play here, and I'm going to play that up, and I'll have a comment afterwards.
Hey, Todd. This is Chuck. I listened to the podcast about you talking about saying what's on your mind. Well, this is what's on my mind. The ID3 tags that you use. You're a veteran podcaster, and you're still using Geek News Central and the ID tag, so you cannot see which podcast you're on when you're browsing with your iPod. You have to go through the podcast and then find which one is the latest one. Well, it's very difficult to do that, especially with the iPod, and you're driving and you're trying to find the latest show, and you have to scroll through them all just to find it. You veteran podcasters must push your ID tags correctly. Put the date first, show number first, or something, then the name. Please stop putting the full name first. Thank you very much. Bye.
All right. I guess you and I are both seeing something different because I got my iPod sitting here, and I click on Geek News Central Podcast in the playlist. And at the very next thing, it says GNC-2006-03-10, number 154. It doesn't say Geek News Central. It says GNC-2006-03-10, number 154. So I'm confused on why you're seeing Geek News Central on your iPod. That is not what I see on my iPod. Now if I go into that's via the playlist. So let's go into songs. Let's look at the song listings and let me scroll down here to the G's, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Same deal. Same thing. It says I went to the H's. It says GNC. TAC 2006, TAC 03, TAC 10, number 154. I think you got the wrong show. Is anybody else seeing this behavior where it says Geek News Central and you can't see it? Now, if I play the show, now let me go ahead and hit play. And what happens next? Yeah, it's listed actually in Now Playing. It scrolls and it says GNC. TAC 2006, TAC 03, TAC 10, number 154. So I'm not following you, all right, because I'm very particular about the labeling so that you guys can easily find them in the listing. So unless you're seeing something, there's obviously something you're seeing that I'm not seeing. And but anyway, that's on an iPod, so I don't know what else I could do. Hey, I did review the email that came in, the actual promo that came from the, let me get it up here again, because I had to stop and load this up, from Brad. Hey, Brad, I'm going to, the promo, we're 100% child safe here, and the promo pushed it just a little bit too much. So check out twoblindsquirrels.com. Sounds like a crazy show, so make sure you have fun in it, but couldn't quite play that one on the podcast tonight, but twoblindsquirrels.com. As always, I want to thank everyone for listening to the show. Make sure that you check out the show notes at geeknewscentral.com via the podcast link, and if you have comments, send it to the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. Again, 619-342-7365. Email comments to geeknews@gmail.com. Or you can Skype me at Geek News Central. I'm actually behind on a couple of voicemails on that. I need to check that out. And what else do I have going here? I think that's it. Oh, promos to geeknewspromos@gmail.com. And again, we want to thank everyone for tuning in and staying subscribed. We will see you on Friday. Check out podcastpromos.com, brought to you by the team at Raw Voice. And we look forward to hearing your comments on that. Take care, everyone. Have a great week. Aloha.